Hi, who just came on?
Hi, Karen, it's Ruth.
Oh, hi, how are you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Fine, are you still getting snow over there?
Nope.
Are you?
Oh, yeah, we got at least 8 inches yesterday, and they're predicting 10 for today.
Oh, my goodness.
Looks like it's clear out here.
Oh, yeah, well.
It was so icy, they canceled church yesterday.
Oh, did they really? Why?
Because the parking lot was all icy, and they didn't want anybody to fall and get hurt.
Oh. Huh.
I guess they didn't get it cleaned off or something.
Oh.
So you, yeah. Have you been on here for a while, Karen?
What?
Have you been on the phone for a while?
Yeah, I was the only one on.
It's, it's 3 minutes to seven now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to get on early. That's really helpful.
Well, I just, if I don't come down here and get it going, what, I'm, right at the first, I was always late getting on. But anyway, I just, I'm always
happy here.
Seems like there was something I was going to ask you. I don't know what it was, but anyway. I guess they're going to ship out my order today.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Did you find anybody else where you could get some osteodents from?
Yeah, we went, had to make a trip to Yakima Saturday. And,
Sherry?
Yeah, Sherry Martin had it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they're changing their computer. Sure has messed them up.
For sure. Good morning.
Good morning, Ruth. This is Margaret.
Hi, Margaret. I wondered if that was you, since I can see you on the screen.
Yes.
So how's it doing back there in Tennessee?
It is 56 degrees and sunny, but this is a warning. Usually we have that warm weather, it sometimes storms.
You never know what's coming next, huh?
It's not supposed to be that warm.
Mm.
But it's been nice today, so far.
That's good. You get tornadoes there?
Excuse me?
You get tornadoes there in Tennessee?
Yes, we do. We get them in January sometimes.
Well, that's right. Remember, Mary Lou went back there and you were having meetings in the middle of tornadoes.
Right. That was several years ago. Not you. Do you have electricity now?
We do.
Well, good. We
got it Friday, I think. Maybe Saturday. It was Friday. Friday about noon, or I guess a little bit later in the afternoon. And then we had Truman and Anna. They were planning to come over here and stay so that John and Sarah could have an anniversary. And then they weren't going to be coming because they had no heat. And then the electricity came back on, power came on.
Well, good.
How many years have those kids been married now?
This is their 11th anniversary.
Oh, that's fun.
Well, good morning, everybody. Who else has joined us?
Morning, Ruth. It's Linda.
Good morning, Linda.
It's Mary Helen.
Good morning, Mary Helen. I have a screen up, you guys.
I'm trying to get on the computer.
They all have electricity. Mary Helen, do you have electricity?
I do. I just popped off Ray's call, so now I got to switch gears here.
Well, you guys have an early call. What time does it start?
6:30.
You should see our snow, if you ever thought you had snow in the Northwest.
How deep is the snow?
I think we had 2 feet last night.
Wow.
Where do you live?
In Lake Tahoe.
Now Karen will think she only has a skiff.
Well, if you want to talk about a cumulative, well, then we've probably got 2 or 3 feet, but yesterday we got 8 inches, and today we're supposed to get 10 more.
I'm talking one storm.
So we're in the business of, we'll start doing some comparisons here on the snow.
Well, I'm looking out my loft window, Ruth, toward the lake, and half of the window I can't see out of.
Good grief.
Because the roof is there, you know, and the roof is loaded.
And it all comes down. Okay, you guys, enough of the weather report.
You should come to Tennessee where it's nice and sunny today. 56.
But we've been waiting and praying for this snow because we need it economically here with the ski resort.
The city. Okay, so I do have a WebEx app up. And wanted to say good morning to everybody. Welcome to our call. And that's not the one I want. I've got the desktop up. Slides in the beginning and the end. And so first thing that I'd like to do is, if you guys have been journaling and keeping kind of records, is how's this treating you? When have you put down any notes of any differences you noticed? So if you want to share that, that would be good. If not, we will move along. Some of you, did you manage to stay on a whole time over the weekend?
Wow, you guys got off it quick.
Ruth, that's why we're all being so quiet.
Okay, we will move along with my little lesson, and then we will discuss that. So good morning, whoever else is on. We do have some slides up. They are probably not much different than you've seen before. I wanted to talk a little bit and go ahead and, since we are talking a lot about inflammation, and we have all these epidemics of disease, and we have talked in the past about wanting to change the disease statistics, and excuse me. And so I'll have a picture on the slide in case you don't have them up. It says, what will we do to avoid and help others to avoid being in these disease statistics? And I have pictures that we have been using on the slides for quite some time about the cancer, the support centers, diabetic support centers, kidney dialysis support centers, and autism support centers. And there are probably some for arthritis and fibromyalgia and all these different diseases because they're epidemics. And I got started on this when I saw the cancer center, another cancer center, go up in Seattle, driving down the highway. There it was. And then there was one for kidney dialysis, just for kidney dialysis. I thought, whoa, somebody ought to find out what's causing all these epidemics. And recently they have. And I feel like that the medical people have buried their head in the sand, actually. I'm not sure if that's the cause that they buried their heads, but maybe we just went along with them saying we needed more drugs. And so we have our ostriches with their head in the sand, and now here's this one, and he's beginning to pay attention. And so and to talk about a little bit today about inflammation, what is it, and inflammation, how to control it. And so we'll start. I just have a little bit about inflammation first. And this is a part of this class that I've been taking, and pretty much explains some of this. And this lady who's teaching in a class on Vashon has a medical background and has been studying this, I guess, for quite some time. And you people on here who are medical, and I'd like to have additional information if you'd like, but I'll just start out first. I'm just going to read you a paragraph and a couple of topics, and then where are we going from that? Inflammation is a part of a natural immune response. An acute inflammatory response protects the body from invasion and is inherently good, but is sometimes too strong or slightly misdirected. In contrast, chronic inflammation is, as a rule, neither necessary nor desirable. Chronic inflammation increases our intra-abdominal fat. And I always had a trouble saying abdominal fat, makes us feel poorly and heightens the likelihood that we will develop diabetes, high blood pressure, and other health problems. Chronic inflammation is rampant in the United States and needs to be reduced. So, any comments on that? I felt that was, I remember I lost, was determined to lose weight after I had gave my last birth. And I was down to, I looked like really skinny in the teens, and I still had stomach that was fat, and I couldn't figure out why. No matter what I did, I still had the stomach. And this kind of explains that. So as I follow this program, I'm going to be interested in seeing if I lose that, and then I'll know that what she's teaching is very true, or I will figure that out. Then she continues and talks about needing our immune system to constantly defend our health, of course, and the different inflammatory responses and to a wound and to common colds and flu and or influenza and then different responses. But what do you think about this supposition or about the difference between regular inflammation and chronic inflammation? What do you know, or what do you suppose, based on your experiences with weight loss and some of you especially in your education? Is what I said true? You guys all on mute?
Ruth, you're talking about a subject that most of us have never been introduced to until recently. So we really don't have... All I know is that evidently all my life I have suffered from inflammation, because that's the foundation of fibromyalgia. So I'm sitting here trying to analyze what you're saying, and then I thought to myself, when I was a kid, my mother really fed me well. What I mean is, in our home, we didn't have a lot of meat. I mean, we had lots of beans and fresh vegetables out of the garden. So I'm trying to put all this into my brain and analyze, why in the world have I been bothered with this all my life? Anyway.
Well, there's also, you know, it's not 100% food. Especially like fibromyalgia, I think that when we hear from the people who have it, is it usually comes after a serious stress attack. And that can be stress. Automobile accident, giving birth. Different things that, but in your case, you had quite a number of children, and That was a great thing, but it's also a stress on the body.
Yeah, but I had it long. I had it before I had children. I know that.
Well, I think if we, I don't know about for every case, but I think if we look back at the times we've had these conversations about what happens when we sleep and how incredibly important getting through those deep stages of sleep and all those cycles to be able to allow our body to cleanse and then to absorb all the good nutrition. I know in my case, there were a lot of things going on in my life when I hit puberty, being the oldest of eight kids in a poor family, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch of things that went into it, but I do know that I didn't sleep when I was 7th, 8th grade, and I know that that's when all my health challenges started, and never understood. Here is, you know, all those years, I was 45 when I was introduced to NECAN, and I honestly and truly, in all my years in the sick care industry, this conversation about deep quality sleep, if it was even brought up, was just kind of in a, you know, a 10-second, gee, how do you sleep kind of thing, and that was it. And, you know, we talk about, and I said this at Wellness Previews, I don't want to take over your call here, Ruth, but we can eat all the good food if we really focus on our food, but we're not attending to that foundation of sleep, we're not going to be able to even absorb all those nutrients. It's going to be difficult. So I think all these pieces are so intricately connected. This food thing is so huge and so important, because you can have a really good quality sleep, but if you're not eating well, you're not going to sleep well. See, I don't know if that makes any sense, but...
That makes perfect sense.
I think this conversation about inflammation, I mean, this whole taking a swath at this, I don't think that people in when I went through nursing school and when I was started out my nursing career, physicians really were searching for answers. And unfortunately, we had some great successes with a few drugs, and somehow we got onto this path that we thought that a drug was going to fix everything, because it took care of staph. Penicillin was such a panacea for so many things, and all of a sudden here we are, so far down this road of medicine, we've created more problems. But I in my own case, I know that even though I was way far down that path, the quickest way to get me back on the correct path was to be getting the kind of sleep that I had been lacking all of my adult life. Adult meaning from 13 to 45. So I think these things are so important. And the sick, physicians now, there was a front cover of Time magazine and some other periodical talking about inflammation being at the core of heart disease. Well, that's never been the conversation up until a couple of years ago. So, Ruth, we're at the forefront of being able to complement that conversation that the sick care industry is in, because they still don't know that they could be on a different path. We don't have to throw a drug at this. We can correct these things pretty quickly. Now, obviously, if somebody is in the emergency room and they're at death's door, they need super-duper drugs. You would, of course, want a dentist to have had super-duper drugs, but we need to get back to the basics, and that's food and water, and water's the most aggressive solvent on the face of the earth, and we need to use it to cleanse our bodies. But we also need to sleep well, we need to move our joints, and I think, isn't that the point of what this whole call is about, Ruth, is that we all need to be doing all these things together?
It is, and I'm bringing this and wanting to emphasize how important it is to know which of these we can really control by getting our sleep system, our sleep, to some point anyway. But our food is a major part as well. And I think we've gotten off track on that, just like the Medical Association has gotten off track on the drugs, and we've gotten off track into over here. I guess I don't have a pointer on this desktop thing. on the acidic side down here at the bottom left corner where it says most acidic, we were off track over here and eating too many of these acidic foods. And even our water has been acidic until Mekan just came out with a water bottle and a water ball that gives us alkaline water. But what we need to take care of now for this call is the sleep, is our little chart back here that says all these different things that we can do to do something about this. And to be, and of course, in our business, and not just our business, but our mission, is to teach other people that there's something that can be done about it.
Ruth, one thing I'd like to add, Mrs. Linda, in fact, I got an email from Kim, who was on our call, new person, on Thursday, and she had run into a person that was having difficulty with inflammation, wanted to know what I had besides the charts that you talked about. And one of the things I pointed her to was NIDU's second study in 2010, how osteodense helps with inflammation, and that's all research documented. So we need to throw that in too, that you know, the minerals that we get from our food, basically, or supplements, or our water, needs to get into our bones to be able to be used for the organs. And if it doesn't, that's going to cause dis-ease or disease, you know, an inflammation type of thing. And so he researched not only osteoporosis, but also inflammation.
Yes, he did. Well, Peter got it. Huh.
That is really excellent information.
Makes me think that maybe I should put the nutrients, the nutritionals on in these little blank blocks I have on this page where the carbohydrates are either side, I guess, that are needed when you have inflammation. I mean, the fastest one is absolutely, Linda's absolutely right, that the body's going to call for those minerals, for calcium. That's how it's going to balance that blood system, which has to stay balanced, as it calls for the calcium. And if you don't have your osteodense, well then possibly you don't have a transportation system to get it there. So it's not just your bones that we have to listen to, it's the rest of our body as well. And then to know that that's what we need to suggest. We've talked a lot about the green zones, but actually probably calcium and osteodense would be number one. So thanks, Linda. Okay, questions or comments?
Well, I guess one of the questions, I have not been logging because I maybe need to lose a little bit around my waist, but I don't have chronic weight loss that I need to have. However, I am looking, as I turned 70 this year, and that's on the recording, to make sure that my health is as good as it can be. So being on the call is more educational for me right now, but it might be turning around to plotting a little bit more and being a little more serious on that end, because I do have two autoimmune diseases, and when I don't get the sleep, you know, I can certainly feel it, and that whole piece, just like Karen said with fibromyalgia, stems from inflammation. I am having, since I had a staph infection to my leg in June, I am having a little cellulitis down around my ankles. So certainly that would be helped by plotting out and getting a little more, quite a bit more alkaline in what I'm doing food-wise, water-wise, and I am increasing my exercise, so I'm already doing that.
Okay. Thank you. That's exactly what we're talking about, too, is because this call is not meant to be primarily weight loss. It's meant to be primarily help style. And I think that right now what we need to adjust more than anything else that will take care of everything else is the inflammation. And so, as we talk about these things and look at them, I think our challenge is to go and just stay over here on this slide that I have up here now, that has exactly what those are very all together, I guess, and gathered together in one little right-handed side columns, the things that we want to eat right now. If I had cellulitis and fibromyalgia, I think I would just stay over here until I got rid of it. I don't know if I can get rid of it, but at least let the body heal itself over here in just the really green, no yellow, not, well, this one green has a little yellow in it, but to be primarily eating only the alkaline foods. Now, this is what those Kathy Abascal recommends in her class, and she doesn't even, what she told us, not even to eat stevia, and certainly with and not the syrup either. No sugar of any kind. She would take that out. Actually, I kept my stevia because I really don't have any inflammation that I know of particularly, but I wanted stevia because I like to have hot lemonade. What do you think about that challenge?
Ruth, this is Kathleen Miller, and I think that's quite a challenge, which I am taking. And right now, I'm really kind of sick, and I'm trying to stay with the green smoothies or just the water, the Nikan waterfall water, and I'm not sure how to work myself out of this. So we used to be taught if you're sick, just have broth and things. Well, if I'm gluten-free, I can't just eat broth. I could maybe make some. Anyway, I'm trying my best to, I don't feel like I'm alkaline enough. And I've had huge stress. And I feel great about what the, you know, but I've just still got to process the stress, and I'm not sleeping, and I can't seem to change that. I lay in bed.
The problem, probably you got need to go individually, Kathleen. And,
okay.
If anybody has any ideas, this is when stress. And the first thing I think about when we talk about stress is exercise. And
yes,
maybe some fun exercise. And so
always exercise. And then I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't go push it. So it might just be to go push and do a little bit of that. I'll talk to you later about it.
If anybody has any suggestions, or that would help Kathleen, well, that's part of our support as well.
I was exposed to a virus with my grandson last weekend, and I took the lactoferrin gold. I took 5 one day and 5 another day, and thought I was better. And then it's just probably a culmination of a lot of things. But I'm trying to learn the new ways, and I'm excited about what you're teaching. So very thankful that you're taking the classes and that you're doing this.
You know, for me with fibromyalgia, it is dramatic what happens with me with immunity. And I've been out of it because my auto ship didn't come through like it should have. And immunity really affects me in helping me to not be hurting, to not be getting sore throats. So you might look at that.
I will.
Also, Kathleen, you skipped over the stress issue. And I think you need to
really concentrate there. I know when I can't fall asleep, it's because I'm thinking about either all the things I have to do the next day, and I have way too many things on my plate, or other stresses that come into my life. And one thing that helps me is that journaling. I do a little more than on the back of the sheet about, you know, trying to get to the bottom of your stress. And another suggestion is to take some downtime in your day. You know, just like you're going to take time to exercise, plot in some me time. And maybe it's just sitting in a chair and meditating, or sitting in a chair and looking at something beautiful, or looking through a magazine, something that you don't normally do. So those would be my ideas. Another thing that helps me is when I get too many things to do is the night before, plan out what I'm going to do. That gets it out of my brain before I go to sleep. And then prioritize it, A, B, C, D, and E. And I'll send you some things on that if I had your email.
Oh, great. Thank you. Okay, that's good information on handling stress, and that's when I go to sleep as well. But I don't know if all of you are on when I told how I've gone now from having a problem with only getting 2 or 3 hours sleep, but thinking 5 hours is good sleep. So now I'm having 6 and 7 hours of sleep. And of course, right now I'm not under a lot of stress, and that might not hold true when I am. But most of the times, I guess I have been. Still have been able to sleep. And that was really something very simple, and it was don't eat a snack before bedtime. Now don't eat a snack after, don't eat anything much, except some sips of water, after about 6 p.m.
And then also making sure, this is one thing I'm doing in 2012, is making sure that I've started preparing dinner by 5:30.
Right. I'm doing mine earlier even, usually 5 or something like that. That's, yeah, me too, Linda.
There's no more eating at 7:30 after the calls.
You know, there's another factor I was just thinking of. Beautiful music changes my vibrations. It can override some. So even to sit and listen to some of that would be good for me.
Good, that's good.
Add that to your chart, and it's out of 11 for you instead of 10.
Okay.
Okay, good idea. Okay, on this chart, I just am sitting here on this chart because I noticed something on here I didn't notice before. Canola oil is out. Should not be on this chart. So I'll probably have to rewrite this chart.
It should not be eaten.
No, don't, yeah. It should be on there. And we probably won't be having breast milk either.
No.
So for really the alkaline, I will take off the honey and the maple syrup and the rice syrup and not leave those on here right now. They're still 4.5 or so, so they still belong on this side, but when you're doing an anti-inflammatory diet, you're not going to be eating some of these things. You guys all still here?
Yep.
Yep, I'm here.
Yes.
Sound like something disconnected. Okay, so a good discussion today. I would say this is like the perfect call where we have lots of discussion. So if you want, I can bring something each day, or else I'll just do it on Monday and Thursday.
Ruth, this is Nancy.
Yes. Hi, Nancy. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry, I was late. I slept later. This coconut oil, I don't know if I see that on here, but I've always heard how good that is because that will also fight yeast. And I have missed so many of the calls, so I'm not sure if you brought up the yeast connection.
I have not.
Okay. That plays very...
Yeah, I studied some of that a long time ago, but I haven't been looking at it lately.
Mm-hmm. But coconut oil is excellent, and it has a high smoke tolerance, or however they phrase it. You can fry and saute with it at higher temperatures. That's the only oil that has the higher temperature range without smoking. And we should be having, you can just take spoonfuls of that each day. It doesn't really have a bad taste to it. And use it.
It really makes it taste really good.
I know. I scramble eggs with it. I use it instead of butter on whatever you do with instead of butter. And I have to avoid the bread, but you could spread it on your, biscuits, toast, whatever, instead of butter.
One thing is that there are differences in the coconut oil.
A very good brand is, let me go to my jar, it's Traditions, that's part of the name. Tropical Traditions, that's an excellent brand. And you can get that at the vitamin shop. I don't know if everyone, the vitamin shops may be just in Texas area, I'm not sure.
Well, I think I've seen them around here and in California anyway.
But you could also go online, I assume, and just buy it directly. But it's Tropical Traditions.
Tropical Traditions, okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, what you want to see on it is that you're certified organic. You want it to say virgin or extra virgin. It has to be cold pressed and unrefined.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the one I have is called Now, N-O-W, Healthy Foods. And it is the difference in the smell, even, and the consistency is completely different. Because we got one here that was not extra virgin and all that, and the smell was completely different. This one smells so good. You just want to take your finger and put it in there and have a taste right now.
Yes. And Tropical Traditions has one that has more of a coconut flavor, and then one that is not, so, but it's an excellent product.
I eat coconut oil on quinoa cereal for breakfast once in a blue moon, and I'm gluten-free, so I get these little gluten-free rice crackers, and that's just the biggest treat to put coconut oil on those and eat them.
Do you know the brand of your crackers?
Oh, I will get that for you. I put coconut oil in my ears, and I think it must kill fungus or kill something in there. It is so helpful for me, and I know I'm a type O, and I'm not supposed to have it, so I kind of fight that, but I don't just do it all the time, but I do cook with it, and I make the best fudge in the world, and I substitute that straight across for butter, and it's almost a health food. Back to Nature is the brand of my crackers. So Back to Nature, sesame seed, gluten-free rice thin crackers. Those seem to agree. A lot of rice things don't agree.
I'm sure I'm not as sensitive as Kathleen is, but I use a rice cracker at Crunchmaster. I just get them at Costco. But some of them, some of them have cheese in them, and some of them don't.
Huh. And Nutiva is my coconut oil that I just bought from the health food store and like it very much. Organic, extra virgin.
Yes, that is another brand that my friend uses. Very good.
Okay. Hey, you guys. Good sharing today. We'll look forward to tomorrow. And so you guys have a great day, and thanks for joining us all today.
Thank you, everybody.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate you. Have a great day, everybody.